Hey everyone, welcome. You are watching Otaku Movie Anatomy right here on Popcorn Talk Network. We are talking about Interstellar 5555 with special guest Xander Mobus. So, Yamcha is dead. Let's get going.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Otaku Movie Anatomy.
One more time. Oh man, if that's not the way to start right there. Yes, that's what we're talking about today. It's Interstellar 5555. Of course. Oh, I love the flashing lights. It's like a rave.
Nice.
Everyone, my name is Jonathan Mesa. I will be your host today, along with my other guest host. Wait, you can find me at KaibaCat on Instagram and Twitter and all those things. With me always is the incredibly talented Mr. Max Song.
Hello. And you can find me at Super Attack You, Super Otaku.
Yes, and we are with a special guest today, a very, very special guest. You've heard him before if you played Smash Brothers. He's the announcer voice of Smash Brothers. If you've watched Death Battle, he's been sprinkled throughout Death Battle as well.
Done a few of those.
Yes, indeed, it's Xander Mobus.
Hi! Woo!
Do the voice.
Yeah,
okay. Hi!
That's all he got.
That's it. I'm out of steam.
We pay per word.
That was what, like $150 or something? Way like $150 out of budget.
Our entire budget was spent on that one word right there, you guys. But hey, welcome, Xander. Xander, it's really cool.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we could, snake you out here for this show at the last minute. If you guys don't know, we really did caught him up this afternoon, and I just we grabbed him by
put him in a sack, and he just didn't know.
The net was a little overkill.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
We're showmen here. We're showmen.
I understand.
Yeah, real quick, Xander. I mean, what do you got coming up, man? What do you got going on right now?
The only thing I can really talk about right now is I got a thing called Camp WWE coming to the WWE Network, where I voice the Ultimate Warrior. So that'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
What do you say is the Ultimate Warrior? Because I used to watch the Ultimate Warrior growing up, and he usually just picked people up over his head and threw them. I mean,
He's very
let me tell you something. You have the spirit of the warrior, and with it you will rise above and claim victory!
That is the Ultimate Warrior.
So that's
he sounds very ultimate.
Thank you.
Yeah, he sounds a little roided. God rest his soul.
We don't talk about that in sports.
I know, right?
No.
All right, everyone, let's get into it. Time is of the essence. It is fleeting, and we are talking about Interstellar 5555. Pretty cool things. I'll give you guys some movie stats real quick before we go with this thing. It started production in 2003. In 2000. It started in 2000. It took 3 years to make $4 million. Daft Punk were huge fans of Captain Harlock. With animator Leiji Matsumoto.
Who isn't?
And thank you to my wife, who actually was watching this Interstellar with me, and she literally went, "Oh, this is Captain Harlock, basically." And I was like, "Oh, wow, good wife. Nicely done." Yes. And so they actually went to Leiji Matsumoto and him personally to do the animation for this, and he oversaw it. I believe it was animated by Toei Animation.
Yep.
And if you watched Toonami back in the day in 2001, you could have seen a couple music videos of it, and then the complete version
was
in 2003.
Four or five of them. Yeah. I believe they played it on Toonami all the time, and it was One More Time last night, and then
Better, Faster, Stronger.
Better, Faster, Stronger.
And it had to be my favorite. What's it called? My favorite song. I'm totally blanking right now. Digital Love.
Yes.
It had to be Digital Love. That's my favorite song by Daft Punk. Period. Yes.
I remember those very distinctly, and it's kind of crazy because I didn't really get to watch the full thing until basically the YouTube age. Where I was like, oh man, I remember Daft Punk. I remember the old Toonami episodes. And then I'm like, oh, there's a whole hour movie.
Yeah, it's completely. I actually didn't know that either. I would always watch on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
And then you're right. One day I was like, oh, someone, I think it was my friend Matt Wolfram, if you're out there watching, good up for you. And I was like, oh, this is a full feature length film. Well, I guess an hour long. But it's fantastic. It's a beautiful film.
It's basically, it's kind of the first animated musical is the kind of the way that I see it. It's because they don't really, you only get everything through there's kind of the lyrics of the song, of the whole Discovery album, it kind of plays the story. And even though the songs are disconnected, it still all kind of comes together, and you're like, oh, the lyrics for this, it, like, makes sense in the story, you know? Like, it still drives it, which, you know, is, like, an amazing feat to have, like, something so musical with such, like, beautiful visuals and it just meshing so well.
And it really, Discovery album, not necessarily that an album that was built as a soundtrack. It wasn't, but no. Yeah, when the creation of it sort of came together, the whole movie sort of came together.
Yeah.
So we'll give you a brief synopsis before we really get into this thing. Talk some Daft Punk. Love Daft Punk. If you like, you know, EDM, then you like Daft Punk. Oof. Because they're really sort of
the fathers of EDM, basically.
Yeah. So okay, our band of heroes. They live on a blue planet. Or they're blue people. They look very humanoid, but they're all blue, and they're a band, and they get kidnapped by the Earl of Darkwood. Now, this is an evil sorcerer of sorts who goes around the universe stealing people and making them, or taking their talents and making them stars on Earth. Yeah. And then ultimately he kills them, takes their gold records, and he's collecting these gold records, which means they won, like, you know, best album of the year, basically.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Just a crazy premise. But we'll get back
on that. The premise in itself is odd, but he takes these gold standard records, whatever, and he collects them ultimately to take over the universe. And this would be number 5555.
Yeah.
So the story of the secret star system, SSSS. Yeah, so pretty cool stuff. That's basically the synopsis.
I mean, you know, you still have, they get kidnapped, but the main protagonist is this space captain.
Shep.
And he is in love with Stella, and he, like, basically just crosses the whole universe just to, like, rescue her, and it just makes this beautiful, like, love story, even though we all know that he doesn't really get that far. He, like, kind of lands on Earth. Like, he just gets to Earth, and then, like, automatically, it's all downhill. Like, he's just totally fucked every single, like, moment of his life.
Yes. And he drives the most impractical spaceship I've ever seen in my life.
The guitar ship. Looks like a guitar, so, I mean, it doesn't need to be practical because it looks bad as fuck.
It's a freaking guitar ship.
It's like when you watch the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, and, like, Kaiba has a whole ship that looks like a fucking dragon.
Yeah. A blue-eyes white dragon
ship. And you're just like...
Look, he loves.
How much money did you spend on that?
But he loves his blue eyes white dragon. All right, yes, I think so. Just for the entrance of him being, like, on top of his freaking dragon head, just, like, with his cloak waving in the wind as he, like, comes through whatever, like, peasant port, you know?
Screw the rules. I have money.
I'm not gonna lie. If I saw someone fly in on that thing, I'd just be like, nerd.
Yeah,
that's coming from me, so that says something.
But he has money. He has money, and he has three blue eyes. So, who's the loser,
really? Grandpa, that's true. The fourth one was Grandpa's. Torn to bits. Suck on it, Grandpa. So impractical, you know, guitar ship, but totally awesome for the sake of this movie.
Yeah,
very cool stuff.
I mean, if you had to explain it, let's just say it's a planet of people that are really into music. You know, like that's what I got. Like these guys, like these, it doesn't seem like these dudes are just like a band. They're like national heroes. It's like the only thing that drives this planet to keep alive. Like if they're like they leave and everything is in total darkness, that planet just like stops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like we can't do shit anymore without them.
That's true. Yeah. I can't imagine what that planet would be like once they left. It's just a depressed people, like literally blue. Ha! And ready to kill themselves. It's right. Someone actually in the chat literally just said that. They wrote in. You know,
oh, no kidding.
Abba-dee, abba-die. Fantastic. Whoever that was. Golf something. All right.
I like to imagine it'd be like a silent movie all of a sudden as soon as they leave. Like there's another movie happening. It's just people going like, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's all it is.
I just imagine it to be like a depression era, like film, and just everyone just rolling potatoes and just doing farm work, just in grayness.
What, you know, interesting we bring that up because this is unique for an anime that we're covering. We've never covered an anime like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm curious if we could even really consider it an anime.
I want to say that it basically splits up into like OVAs.
Uh-huh.
You know, it could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Why not? First of all, it's made by acclaimed, like, anime director.
Yes.
If anything, this is one of, like, the first animated things that has, like, merged with different foreign Western cultures to, like, bring this new hybrid. And for me, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that is a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and if anything, that's one of the first original, like, animes to have come out and been like, oh, anime isn't just, like, a series or isn't just a movie. It's, like, it can be all these different facets. And I think that point, to me, was more like, this is animation as we would do animation in America. Uh-huh. Like, that's, it's not all, it's not inclusive in just this, like, geekery of, like, it has to be a series.
Right. No, you know? And that was one of the things I love that Daft Punk did, is they brought a different style to anime in itself. They made it so much cooler, where, like, anime does have that very, then when we talk about a lot of time, you know, you talk about anime in America, and someone's like, nerds! But, like, this was fucking cool!
Yeah.
And you look at, like, the music that from Daft Punk, and all the people who have replicated it, who have used it as samples, rappers, you know, Kanye West, screw Kanye West, but anyway, Kanye West using, you know, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. Like, and just, you see Daft Punk and this album, you know, taken and used everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's all connected with animation, specifically anime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just freaking awesome. But what I was saying about it is that there's no words in this. There's no speaking. There's very limited sound effects. I think there's almost none, really.
Yeah. There's like a car crashing.
Uh-huh.
And you can hear tapes. Like going into a tape deck, and those are the only.
And
sounds.
There's some rain, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's some rain.
There is rain. Yeah, you're right.
That's nice. That's set the ambiance. Yeah. Set the mood a little bit.
You know, you just gotta have a little touch.
I feel like it's not Leiji Matsumoto without some dramatic rain.
That's true. I like that. Good call.
Yeah.
The characters in this are really cool. I love the design of them. You know, we always laugh actually, and you know, my wife is black and Mexican, and we always laugh about the fact that you, even though they're blue, the one character you're like, oh, they're gonna make him black.
Yeah.
Like that guy's gonna be black. Okay. This is gonna be the black
to
character.
To be fair, he had an afro.
Yeah.
And he was the only one in that whole like. They all have like blonde hair and like green eyes, and he was just like a really tall, lanky dude with a giant afro.
He's gonna be black. And he was the only character of the leads. I gotta get his name right.
I think he plays the bass, right?
Barrel.
Oh no, he plays the synth.
Not the drummer. That's the drummer. Oh my god, the keyboard's Octave. His name is Octave.
Octave.
So they don't even say the names in it, really. You just see signs at one point.
Yeah,
but he had lips. He actually had lips also.
Oh, he had like. Characterly racist lips.
Yes, exactly. And that is one of the first things I noticed. I was like,
I might be crazy. I thought he looked a lot like a Cowboy Bebop design.
Yeah, actually,
he's kind of Cowboy Bebop.
From you know when they introduce Ayn for the first time.
Yeah,
you know, when he gets. I think Abdul is his name.
He
gets plastic surgery. He looks exactly like him.
Though. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He looked a lot like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, and even what I dig also, not just the characters design themselves, but when they designed them and made them into...
Like humanoid?
Humanoid.
Yeah.
They looked really cool. They kind of like even Octave had like this sort of like 70s bell-bottom flare thing.
Yeah.
And some of them were rockers. Like they look pretty badass. Like Earl the Dark Word may be an evil bastard, but he's got style.
Yeah. He's got some taste.
He knows how to sell a group.
I mean, or is it just the machine that, like, just goes through a list of clothing that's like, I don't know, let's just throw some shit on him.
I want the scene where he goes to, like, an engineer or something and is like, okay, so I need a machine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need it to turn blue people into regular people and dress them like rockers. Because that guy has to be going, like, what, did you find the Smurf village?
But we can't do it all in one place. It needs to be a series of rooms, and everything has to rotate.
Yeah.
Like, switch, and, like, have, like, all these rooms. It's like, that's really, we can, like, literally just do, like, we just take one, and we do all of it at once, and then we'll be fine.
No, I mean, panels with little tentacles that come out and shoot them with pellets.
We want them sliding around in different places like Mousetrap.
Yeah.
like, that was a little absurd, yeah.
And they all have to be there at the same time.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're not a group.
Yeah. So they get, okay, so they're stolen. They're made into a band called the Crescendals. The Crescendals. And One More Time is their big hit.
Yeah.
And they sort of blow up from that point. Shep gets to Earth and is trying to save them. And Shep, you know, ends up saving all of them during the song Look Up in the Air, which says many times, look up in the air.
Yeah.
Look up in the air. Look up in the air.
Look where he comes from.
Yes, and he comes from the air. Shep comes from the air.
Oh, is that what that song was called?
Oh, it was called Look Up in the Air.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that.
I know. It went over a lot of people's heads.
I know this is a random tangent, but there's a song that I forget which one it is. It might be that one,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like it's saying, do the air hump, do the air hump, do the air hump. And I know it's not that, but I can't get that. I can't unhear that.
Well, I think that might be Look Up in the Air, but do the air hump.
I thought it was like High Life or something like that, where it sounded like they were like, hump the air or whatever it was.
But
if you're in the chat with us, let us know what the hump the air song is. We'd really appreciate that. Someone already is writing.
Air hump, do the air hump, do the air hump. Like, it just was over and over again.
Maybe Daft Punk was trying to like make a dance craze.
Everybody, do the air hump. I don't know. I don't know if this is working.
Just go with it. Say it over and over. It'll work. But someone else was writing you guys. Aerodynamic was someone's favorite song in the chat. Very cool. We'd love to hear your favorite songs from this. Mine, of course, is Digital Love. I'd love to hear your guys' favorite songs from this album, from Discovery. Or your just favorite Daft Punk song, period. I mean, I'd love to hear that from you guys at home and also from you guys right now.
By all means, you're our guest.
My favorite Daft Punk song is the Russian Police's cover of. Have you seen that? Where it's like, "We've come too far to." Oh, I don't know what the song's called.
The Russian Police.
Raise the bar. And that's Lucky. That's Lucky.
So the Russian Police Choir did a cover of that. And it's amazing to listen to. It's just a bunch of these, like, kind of chubby guys going, like, "We've come too far." Just like, oh, my God.
Lucky. Yeah. But only by the Russian Police.
Only by the Russian. That's the only way I can listen to it.
All right, guys. So if you're at home, look up the Russian Police Choir singing Daft Punk's Lucky.
I won't say it'll change your life, but it just might.
So I'm sorry. I had to remember what the hell his name was. Pharrell.
Yeah. He's a singer. He sings a couple tracks off. That one is called Random Access Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's their newest album.
New ones. Yeah, which is great. I basically love every single album that they ever made and basically everything that they do because they're perfect. Oh my God. That's all. I'm not.
Do you have a favorite from Discovery?
Digital Love is my favorite from Discovery.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like the. Before it gets really depressing, because it does, there's a lot of songs that I never characterized as sad until I saw it with the animation, and I was like, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
That makes me very blue. But,
Nice.
Yeah. But Digital Love will always be my favorite. Because it's also like, it's not just like an EDM song, it's like a song that you can like kind of sing along with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which not a lot of. Daft Punk songs aren't necessarily.
Oh, unless, of course, you like singing the air hump, which is also fun. Yeah. It's very meditative. Still not getting it.
So we will talk a second. Oh, actually, you know what? No, we have something. The premise and the 5,500 to 5555 golden records. 5555. So Max, you wanna talk about the premise here about the 5555?
Okay. So basically, the idea, the Darkwood, and obviously you see 555 like everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, at what was it? 505 at
Darkwood
Mansion at 5:55 something like that. 505 or something. And basically the idea is like he's a part of this cult that worships like this kind of ancient evil like Cthulhu darkness.
It's very Illuminati.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally got the Illuminati thing going on.
And so I don't know if they stop. It seems like he's an alien. He's also just sort of either he's just this follower that has this power of like immortality, or if like he, you know, he's just like this avatar, and the avatar just happens to be like a crotchety old baron dude. Like of all the images to pick, you're like, can I have an old guy with like ridiculous hair, please? Thanks. You know, I just want to look like that forever.
I need earrings.
Yeah. And so the idea, and this is basically his whole evil premise, is that he needs these gold records.
Yeah. Right?
He needs these Earth gold records. And the origin story, when you see him capturing all these aliens and like turning them into like musical figures, like, you know, like
Beethoven was like the first one.
I think that's Wolfgang, because I think Wolfgang was like 12 or something, like a genius or whatever. But that's what I thought was hilarious, is because they showed these origins and he needs to have 5,555 of these gold albums, and the first one is like Beethoven, and it's like they never had gold records.
They didn't have gold records.
Like, what do they do with that?
they had like golden piano statues that they gave you that you could then melt down and make your own.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what he did.
In which they, you know, someone had made these statues. Like, here you go, because you're the best musician, Beethoven. Like, you have an award now. Like, that doesn't mean anything to you.
You sold the most MP3s on iTunes. Congratulations, Beethoven.
Apparently, in this world, since the dawn of time, gold records were the gold standard for top-notch musicians.
But you can only have Earth records, okay?
Yes,
you
of can't, course.
Even though you have the power of interstellar travel, you can only get these that look like archaic Earth technology that we don't even use today.
My question is, like, it looks like he's about to, like there's this whole sacrifice thing with the gold records. The hell god is he worshiping to get power from?
This is actually the bass. This is something kind of out there a little bit. If I'm trying to connect this to the Illuminati,
right?
The Illuminati is known for like owning the music industry, and that's like a big concept with the Illuminati.
They are.
So this could
okay.
That's why if you notice the whole one eye thing, and you'll see the triangle that's connected with the Illuminati and all this stuff, and like all seeing eye all over music. And I will say this is actually the true story. So the concept is that Lucifer, well, we're going to go deep right here. Lucifer was a seraphim. He was one of a high-ranking angels. Mm-hmm. And Lucifer's job in heaven was actually music, to make music that was worshiping God. So when he fell from heaven, there was no one there to take up that role, which is why people do worship at church. And the worship is when they sing and praise to God. That's why you have to have music, because that is the missing element that Lucifer's job was actually up in heaven.
Wow, that's awesome.
That ties in. That's kind of crazy. Yeah, and so there's a little there's a little fun fact for you guys.
And so what you're saying is Satan made hip-hop, and that's why Jay-Z is a part of the Illuminati.
That's right. Confirmed. You were saying they were right.
We should have banned rap music. We should have banned rock and roll.
Apparently, it's literally
the devil's music.
It's too late now. They're too powerful. We can't do anything about it.
But it's like across the board. We're talking like, you know, music in all genres. Yeah. Like, you know, it's got
he just controls everything.
It's got that Illuminati influence.
Yeah. And so once they get to 5,555, they're going to summon the Dark Lord.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
So what is it? What is it? It's the Grammys, I guess?
Just like a platinum record.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so that would be...
No, Grammys is a different cult.
No,
you got
okay,
the gold record cult and the Grammy cult.
When we get to, like, the Grammys, like, you know, they're going to be like, this is the 5,555th Grammys, end of the world. That's what's going to happen. Once they give out best album, end of the world.
And they're probably going to give to Kanye, too. I was the evil the whole time. We were foolish.
If he's still around by the time we reach 5,555 annual Grammys, holy shit.
Are you trying to say that you think that Yeezy can ever be defeated? Yeezy is immortal.
We've gone off the rails. I'll tell you what. A favorite song from someone in the chat, Karina Mesa. That's actually my wife. Hi, wife.
Hello.
Face to Face. Very nice pick. Very nice pick from Discovery. Also,
is that the Air Hump song, though? Because I really need to know what the Air Hump song is.
We got. If you guys are out there, let us know what the Air Hump song is.
Like, we really
We're not joking. I do want
to
know.
So listen to the songs right now, because we don't have it on us right now. But
I have to do the Air Hump with dead silence.
Air
I want some music.
Oh, I do want to talk about their music a little bit. Since we're like just Daft Punk in general, because we have this incredible anime that they've done, but their music transcends just now. I mean, we're talking anime, we're talking about people who are imitating them. Yeah. We've got Russian police choirs, Tron Legacy. If you guys haven't seen Tron, they did the music to Tron. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, and they definitely made it like 7,000 times better than it should have. It should have been.
They were the best part of that damn movie.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And even in the club when they're like, it's Daft Punk there. But like even like we have this video lined up, Pentatonix. If you guys haven't heard Pentatonix,
they're the acapella band,
acapella group. Yeah, yeah. And if you want to spin that for us, man, we've got Pentatonix. Like they did this really cool rendition of it, and they did like a mashup of like all their songs. Yeah, this is it playing right here, you guys, for everyone at home.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they really look. They have inhuman eyes because they're all robots.
And so, like, and this is all vocals as well. But so this is just one, like, many, like, things that was, you know, that Daft Punk inspired.
Daft Punk definitely has, like, a culture. Like, they're definitely the forefathers of, like, EDM culture now, even. Just the fact that, like, the kind of the showmanship of it. They're the first ones to really bring like a light show to like EDM, you know. Uh-huh. They're the ones that like brought kind of like the theatrics of like
the
wearing
robot
the mask,
masks,
the robot
mask,
yeah. Like not really having like a specific like look to them, and just basically, you know, just kind of bringing electronic music into like this, into this world of art.
Yeah,
which is, I think, which is why this in particular is culturally important, because they, the thing that Daft Punk does first and foremost, besides make fucking excellent music, is bring that into art.
Yeah.
You know?
They're artists first.
They're artists.
They're artists.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's exactly one of the things that you get from Daft Punk's work, which is why they inspired the heck EDM movement. That's yeah. why Deadmau5 has a big mouse head. You know
exactly.
what I mean? Yeah, because Daft Punk had robot heads.
Yes. And, yeah. you know, the Daft Punk is basically just synonymous with music history. You know, they, no one had even been remotely close to doing something like what they were doing for a very long time, at least yeah. in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to see that, like, you know, these guys, like, really appreciated anime for not necessarily just it being, like, a cartoon, as right. everyone mistook it for.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we can, this is art. And they're like, if you think about it, they're kind of the first otakus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Daft Punk's the first, you know what, that's what we'll classify this. This should have been Interstellar 5555, Daft Punk, the first otakus. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't, like, yeah. Linkin Park, weren't they?
Yeah, Linkin Park
like,
did a
Gundam
whole
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a lot of their videos were animated by, I think Production IG did one too. Like, but they, but yeah, they had, they incorporated a lot of anime in their music videos, and those were also their best music videos, let's
See?
Be honest.
Yeah.
That's probably
yeah.
true, yeah.
Well, heck, and even, I mean, gosh, I hate that we keep talking about Kanye tonight. It's driving me crazy. But Kanye, you know, when he did Better, Faster, Stronger, I mean, he basically recreated, like, Akira in that. In,
yeah.
Like, Akira mixed with Daft Punk, like, you know, mixed with, sorry, Interstellar. Like, and yeah. that was, like, his video.
I would totally love an Akira movie starring Kanye West.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be the apocalypse already.
Yes.
You know?
That just would be the end. So guys,
he'd be Kaneda and he would be Tetsuo.
Oh yeah, he'd just be the whole cast.
He's
the whole cast. He's everybody.
Yeah. He just, it's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Kanye playing all roles.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Kill me. So guys, if you don't know a lot about Daft Punk, then what the hell is wrong with you? I mean, outside of
Learn
Tron,
some music.
And, yeah, Random Access Memories of A Human After All Alive. They've got a lot of great albums you guys can check out. Really great stuff. Around the World is also
yeah.
another big favorite. Yeah, sure. Question is, how much did you know about Daft Punk prior? I mean,
I still don't know that much
yeah,
about
Daft
Punk.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
a young cat,
man.
You're a
young
cat.
This movie came out when I was in the sixth grade.
Jeez, what
you
I
think.
Yeah,
I wasn't in high school until 2006. So, yeah, it would have
so
been.
Young.
So young. 2003.
No, sorry, seventh grade.
Seventh grade. So
I'm an old buck after all. So,
okay, well now, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see this movie until like early high school, and it was cool, but I wasn't familiar with like Leiji Matsumoto or anything like that. It was just
yeah.
like this thing that a buddy was like, you gotta watch this, it's got blue people, you'll like it.
All his friends were from New York.
Yeah,
way.
It's
yes,
it's
yeah.
weird. So
they
then
all spoke really slow.
Yes.
The only time I've seen it since then was today.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy crap, that's Captain Harlock.
Yeah.
And so that was, it was kind of fun rediscovering that. And yeah, I don't listen to a lot of EDM, so Daft Punk is, I hadn't heard most of the album or didn't remember it. And so yeah, it was an interesting new experience. It was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're bringing the young ones up here, the Daft Punk.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're making me feel very, very old right now.
I know,
back
we are
in
old.
My day, we had real music. Young kids.
You know, I always do bring this up because the announcer's voice of Smash Brothers is like a big bolsterous voice, and you not only are you know young, you are younger, but you've got such a youthful look to you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I mean that's something like Leonardo DiCaprio always had issue with because the
yeah.
fact that he's you know a young face.
Are you trying to say I'm going to be Leonardo DiCaprio
someday? I'm
saying
someday? You could be. I'm saying you could
hey,
be.
Believe in
you
your
heard
dreams.
It here first,
yeah.
folks.
Believe in your dreams.
So you have to be attacked by a bear to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
It'll be.
No, you do. You do.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. That's
it'll
fine.
It'll be the 5,555th Oscars, yeah, apparently.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the 555th bear, and I was like, is there just a line of bears?
You got to get attacked by every single one of them. Otherwise, you can't raise the Dark Lord.
You
Jesus.
Will never be successful unless you get attacked by a bear.
By a bunch of bears.
You got to eat its liver. You gotta eat a horse liver. Yeah. I mean, like, you gotta.
That I just do for fun. Yeah. So that's fine.
We've gone off the rails a little bit.
A little bit. That's fine. It's okay.
All right, let's. Please, Max. Anybody.
Oh, no. I was just gonna say, like, if we're gonna. You know, just because we have a little time, mm-hmm. you know, like, what let's do go. You remember that's, like, incorporated with anime? That's totally outside of anime. Like, so one example is in Kill Bill, one of my favorite sequences is, like, that that sequence with, what's her name? Oishi?
Ren.
It might be Ren. It's her origin story. Yes. And that is, like, one of my favorite animated thing ever. Like, just ever. The art style is amazing. Just, like... the drama of it is amazing. It gets a little bit weird and janky, but, like, the animation does. But, like, within parts of that is just, there's, like, so much art. And Quentin Tarantino, obviously, is a total fan of, you know, that, like, culture.
Ren Ishii. Thank you. All right, good.
Nice. I say.
Oh, jeez. Thanks.
Took brain and memory. So my question is, what is your favorite, like, kind of culturally integrated animated thing?
Oh, jeez. That's good.
Yeah.
Xander, you got anything?
I don't know if it counts, but, like, Avatar The Last Airbender.
Beautiful. I love that choice.
It's very anime inspired, especially, like, Legend of Korra looks a lot like Full Metal Alchemist and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it is a Western thing, but it is that kind of integration.
But, you know, it was even the idea of, you know, the same kind of tropes and the idea of, like, the spiritual world and the elements. And those are all very, like, traditional Japanese tropes that have been used forever and ever. And even the fact that they decided to sort of use the same, like, way of emoting, you know, their characters, which is very anime-influenced, where it's, like, that hyper-exaggeration. Yeah. I remember there used to be issue for a very long time whether or not that was a cartoon or it was anime. Mm-hmm. And at that point...
Yeah, that big argument that always happens.
Yeah. And that's when the line blurs, because all anime really is, you can basically just say that anime is just Japanese animation, cartoons are American animation. So what is, besides it being a regional thing, like, I believe Avatar was a great kind of, like, you know, kind of border on that, made you really question what is, you know, like, who cares about what the title is.
I've gotten so many arguments about that, because I consider Avatar The Last Airbender to be an anime. I mean, it was Korean animated, American creators, but I mean, overall, I mean, it was the heart of anime. It was true to anime, but it had that sort of, like that soft American feel that captured American audiences a little better. And I loved it. I really thought that first series, even in Legend of Korra, just kept, like, growing. It's almost like
Legend of Korra got, like, real, like, the animation got so spotless. Tight.
Oh my god, so the designs in that show are amazing.
And I love that the story of Avatar grew with the audience, because Aang was sort of younger, and so it captured a younger audience. And then sort of Korra came out a couple years later, and sort of everything grew with the audience.
Although
I was already an adult, but I'm just a big 12-year-old.
Well, I mean, that's what the Last Airbender movie was there for, so you could enjoy it.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just like,
damn,
you know,
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. If you're just like, hey, you know, I want to watch Avatar, but I just really want to be, like, real fucked up, like heroin fucked up, and I want to watch it without being really high, but with the same feeling as someone, you know, that's just clearly fucked something up so totally and utterly. Please. Awful. Thanks. Thanks, M. Night.
It's amazing, because, like, it really is, like, it's such a bad movie. You expect to, like, laugh at it and, like, you know, I mean, have a good time. It's just so boring.
Awful. Just
so
awful.
Boring.
It's boring, and the one thing that I can't stand is bad actors. The thing that I can't stand even more is child bad actors. Yeah. They're already bad actors. No offense, most children. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they were just god-awful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I see someone in the chat. I can't see the name, but it says that they were saying that Adult Swim got them into Daft Punk.
Oh, wow.
That a Toonami Adult Swim got them into Daft Punk.
That makes
Daft
sense
Punk
to me.
Fans. So whoever that is, that is awesome. We're actually glad to hear that. Oh, fun fact about Toonami. It's not gone, you guys. It's actually online. If you want to see anything that Toonami does, they have an online Toonami stream that's always going.
Oh, nice.
And you could just watch Toonami anime as well as...
I hear they're bringing Toonami back, like... In Adult Swim, too.
I feel like it's Eminem. It's made, like, the Toonami's made, like, four comebacks at this point. I'm not sure. I think they might be, though.
I've been hearing rumors as of late that Toonami is coming back in some form.
We got to ask Steve Bloom about that. He would know. Yeah.
If Steve Blum can come here, like, I would, that would be great.
Yeah,
just, can we, anyone? Steve Blum?
Steve? Are you watching?
Just invade his Twitter and just, like, he should come on this show.
That would be awesome. No, we'll connect with Steve. We'll try to get him out here for something. Yeah. We'll do an anime that he's in and, you know, yeah. we'll do it.
Well, we won't hold him hostage or, like, you know, threaten his...
Oh, so he doesn't get the net? That was just me?
Yeah. No, he's going to get a net. Yeah, okay. That's for sure. Because we're actually going to try to keep him. We're going to put him in a cage right here. And just have him like recite things.
Like, it'll be like that voice. It'll be like in King Kong. It's like Steve Blum, seventh wonder of the world.
I would love it. And then he just like yeah.
You look like Jack Black for some reason.
All right, favorite moments in Interstellar 5555. What are some of your favorite moments from this anime?
Oh, you got to go first, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, I actually have one.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you guys time to think. One of my favorite moments is when the Crescendals are up for the award of best album or whatever, and they show all the four bands that they're up against, or the other three bands.
Oh, that's so good.
And yeah, and just the characters that they have of the bands, and of course one of the bands is Daft Punk themselves.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, and like, you know, what one of the characters of Daft Punk is saying is on his little helmet, and he's just like surprised or happy or question mark. Like
yeah. So good.
And Daft Punk loses, but they were like good sports in losing. I totally dug that. And there's one more. It's a little thing, because this movie is French and Japanese made.
Mm-hmm.
A security guard is watching a soccer game in the anime,
yeah.
And it's France versus Japan, and the score is 1-1, and then France scores a goal and beats Japan, and the security guard gets pissed. He gets all upset because I guess, you know, he's on the Japanese side of it.
Yeah.
So that's the two little moments that Amazing. They put in that are like Daft Punk
little nuances.
Yeah, nuances.
I like that.
What about you guys?
Go ahead, my man.
Well. All of Digital Love is kind of the best, obviously.
Yeah, it is.
But I really thought it was mind-blowing, was, like, the revelation of, like, all the different aliens. Like, that part is kind of, like, when they do the flashback.
Yeah.
It's, like, just so... Like, I look at that, and I'm like, that is, like, some really, truly sci-fi writing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just, like, the idea that all of our greatest people weren't great because they were, like, great people, but because they were, like, just talented from another world.
So you humans know what I mean? Suck. Yeah. Humans you are the worst.
That humanity. Give up. Yeah. Art
we
is dead.
You can never be as good as the aliens that come and take our bodies. Sorry. But I just thought that was always, like, some very good writing, how they were able to, even though it's an hour, it's like, they're able to, like, put in, like, this kind of crazy concept and long history behind... what is fairly a short and simple, you know, without any words, by the way. Like, how amazing is that, that you know exactly what the concept is,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly what the history is, and not a single word was said about
it. Yeah, they didn't need to tell you anything. They just showed you everything you needed to see. Real quick, it was superheroes. Gulf 2860, I can't even read the numbers are, but Gulf something.
Okay.
Says the song is superheroes, and the words are something's in the air. Is that one?
Something's in the air, something's in the air.
That's when Chef is flying over the
right,
audience.
Right,
that
but,
explains it.
But think about it, do the air hump, and then you will absolutely hear do the air hump from that one.
It's yeah. I'm gonna listen to it again and hear that. And the other, someone else said their favorite part is the transformation scene. I think it was also Golf. Thanks, Golf, for all your comments. We love you. I'm glad you're watching. The transformation scene when they're doing the mousetrap thing into different parts.
Yeah.
Xander.
Yeah. I really like it. Was Deadwood Manor, I think.
Oh, Darkwood.
Darkwood Manor.
Deadwood's on like HBO or Showtime.
That's a different thing.
That's way darker.
Darkwood Manor. I love that sequence because I really like it when Leiji Matsumoto does like. Creepy, weird. Like, if you've seen Galaxy Express 3-9 when he gets to the Count's castle. And it's this cool kind of gothic thing. I love it when he does that, and he got to go insane on this one, and it was just really nice. I really like that sequence, that entire thing.
Yeah, nice. Oh, my apologies. It's not Golf. It's Jeff. It's far away from me, you guys. So, Jeff, thank you. So, it's not, your name is
Jeff.
Not Golf something. It's Jeff something. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Sorry we mispronounced your name when you're watching us. We suck.
All right, we're going to rate this film. Out of 5, we're allowed to do decimal points and anything like that. If you want to rate along with us, go ahead and write it in the chat. Of course, we would talk about it. Out of 5, Maximundo.
Can I give it 5, 5, 5, 5?
Oh! Microphone flip.
But seriously, that's great. And, you know, I think it's not only one of the best, like, written pieces, also the best, you know, animated pieces, but it has a great pace.
maybe a little bit slow. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, for an hour movie, great pace. And, you know, I just have really fond memories of it. So, and also they, you're right, whoever said that they knew Daft Punk from these videos, that's the way that I discovered Daft Punk. Mm-hmm. So, I totally get it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Xander.
-5, because I don't like things that are different.
Another reason that Michael
you youngins.
Yes.
I would definitely, I'm going to be that asshole who's like, well, it's not perfect, so
that's
I'm not
right.
going
I'm
to give
not,
it a 5.
I'm not giving it a
You're a bastard.
But, yeah, I would give it a solid 4, definitely. Nice. It was entertaining, and it was very visually stunning. The music's very nice. I just don't know how much I'm going to go back and rewatch it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
I'm sure you'll see Digital Love at least one more time.
In oh, yeah. And you're going to hear these songs everywhere you go. Yeah. And you hear, I mean, these are songs you're going to hear in shows, in other artists sampling them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet. Mine is actually a 4.5. Really, it's actually, you said it, there are a few pacing moments, and I feel like after Shep dies, you know, it, like, we do have some pacing issues, and the story is a little bizarre, but overall, it's so creatively beautiful and dynamic that I love it. I mean, and so, that's a minor ding, because, I mean, Princess Mononoke is my only 5 that I've given so far, and I'm like, if I'm going to compare it, I'm like, okay, it's a 4.5. Like, you know, Mononoke is still top-notch, hard to beat, hard to really
easily,
put something.
Easily my favorite of the Miyazaki films.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
So good.
So it's a full-on 4.5 for me, but like this is something I actually watch all the time. Like I will sit down and watch the videos or just watch it in its entirety.
Right.
I think I did it a couple months ago, and every once in a while I put on a video for myself. And
yeah, I do it like every like 2 or 3 years once I'm feeling like nostalgic about it, basically.
Yeah.
So,
nice. Yeah. And
it has history behind it for me, and that's, you know, kind of the most important thing because it has longevity. You know, it has history.
Yeah.
You gotta appreciate that.
And, I mean, Daft Punk has been doing this, guys, for 30 years. They've been making music for 30 freaking years.
Damn, have they really been around that long?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes. But real quick, I'll give you guys a little fun story before we end. Because, you know, Daft Punk, the robot helmets, people don't really know what they look like. My brother was in San Diego, and he was on a party bus. And he was partying with all these guys and, you know, these people, with strangers, whatever. And he was like, he met these two guys, and they were really cool. So he was hanging out with them. And he was like, hey, you're really sweet. Where are you from? They're like, oh, we're from France. He's like, oh, okay. And he's buying them drinks, and they partied all night, and then they got off the bus, and then the I don't know if the driver or someone else was like, hey, that was Daft Punk.
Yeah.
And my brother was like,
what?
No
what?
Idea. So he bought a Daft Punk drinks all night, and my thought was, they're rich. They should have bought drinks.
Damn you, Daft Punk. Taking advantage of the common man like that. I just imagine that if they took off their helmets, they would just disintegrate into dust. But apparently not. Apparently they're people.
I would
whatever.
Love it if they went to the party with the helmets and they're just like trying to drink.
And that's how Skynet happens.
The end. All right, everyone. Real quick, Xander. I mean, this is we're happy that you could come out and do this show with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I mean, once again, obviously you got like some NDAs on the table. You can't say much, but remind us of where we could what project you got going on that you got coming up next.
Next thing you will hear me in is probably Camp WWE coming to the WWE Network. Got a game called Grand Kingdom coming out sometime in the future, and that's I think all I can talk about right now.
All right, with a lot of NDAs, it's always the case with all of our VO people coming in. All right, everyone, Max, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me at Super Otaku, Super Attack with a U at the end on all the social medias. Please check it out.
Xander, where can we find you?
At XanderMobusVO on Twitter because I'm creative.
Oh, see how simple. My name is Jonathan Messi. You can find me at KaibaCat on Instagram, Twitter, I don't know, Snapchat, whatever, I don't care. All those things. But also, you guys, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. We're going to be filming some things. Make sure to check out. You can look up, I'm going to be gone for like 2 months possibly. Man Cave Gaming, you could always see me streaming Street Fighter V. And look up Ghosts and Stuff. We've got a lot of powerful, fun, talented VO actors who are going to be premiering in a show called Ghosts and Stuff. It'll probably be released in a few months when we're done filming. That's all the time we have. I don't know what we're doing next week. Do you know if we're doing anything
I believe
next week?
We're doing Ninja Scroll next week with Yume, but I am not 100% sure, but I'm most likely sure it's that.
So I'm missing Ninja Scroll. That
definitely
sucks.
Watch next week because it's going to get crazy.
Thanks everyone for joining us in the chat. We love you guys. Join us next week for Otaku Movie Anatomy. Until then, peace.
Thanks for watching.
Do the air hump.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.